Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A kindergarten teacher, don't you appreciate our teachers? Teachers, when do y'all get a break this year? When y'all out? Fridays. See that response? Friday. It is like Friday. Kindergarten teacher up in the panhandle was working with a little boy, and he was the last one, and she was trying to get his cowboy boots on. It's a cold day. Trying to get his cowboy boots on. And man, she was pushing, and he was pushing, and she was pulling and pushing and pulling, and she'd break a sweat. And when she got him done, he looked at him, he went, "Teacher, it's the wrong feet." Sure enough, she had him on the wrong feet. Some of you know with cowboy boots, they're hard to get off too. And so she's pulling them, trying to get them off, and finally she gets them off, and then they get them back on the other feet, and she's pulling, and he's pushing, and they get them on the wrong. As soon as he gets them on, he looks at him and goes, "These aren't my boots." She said she had to bite her tongue just to keep from screaming in his face, "Why didn't you say so?" So she pulls them off, and when she gets them pulled off, he looks at her, he goes, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." Now she's got a rolling sweat going, and she puts them back on and gets them on his feet, and she's getting his coat on. She said, "Where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." She's eligible for parole in another 5 years. This morning, I want to talk about a very famous lady in the Bible. It's interesting that the scriptures are very kind to women. They're kind to women in the Bible. They're very respectful. And you say, well, they should be. We have to understand, during the time frame this was written, women weren't treated with the same level of respect. In fact, they were often treated like property. And so the Bible is very kind. In fact, in the book of Matthew, there are five women mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. One of them is Tamar, and the next one is Rahab. Tamar did something really sketchy. You'll have to read her story in Genesis. She did some really sketchy stuff. And Rahab was, in kind words, she was a prostitute. And yet the Bible still lists her. And then there's Ruth, and Ruth wasn't even Jewish. In fact, Rahab wasn't Jewish. And Ruth wasn't Jewish. And then there's Bathsheba, and you know what Bathsheba did. And she's mentioned. And then finally Mary. Five women are mentioned in the Bible. And so the Bible doesn't skirt the issues. In fact, Jesus was one of the only figures of his day that treated women with great dignity and respect. But there's one lady that stands above them all and is most famous in the Bible, and who do you think that is? It's Mary. And this morning I want to look at Mary because she's a very unique individual. She did a song to the Lord that was highly inspired. In fact, it's called the Magnificat, which is taken from a Latin term. And she goes to see Elizabeth. She's carrying the baby Jesus, the Christ child. She goes to see her neighbor or her relative, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, she said the baby leaped in her womb and the Holy Spirit came on Elizabeth, and Elizabeth began to speak by the Spirit of God and actually said to Mary, "How is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Well, that's a pretty amazing moment. And after that moment, Mary spoke, and she spoke these words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." If you read the rest of it, there's revelation there about what God is going to do through the baby that she's carrying. But it's a beautiful song of praise. And in it, you begin to get some glimpses of who Mary is. She said, he regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Mary did not think too highly of herself. And what's interesting is we don't have a lot of information about her. You know, it says she was a virgin and she was betrothed to Joseph. And that's all we get. You know, what's interesting with the Bible is if you are really good looking, the Bible will say, beautiful. It's a beautiful appearance. The Bible talks about people who are really good looking, men and women who are very handsome. I think Abigail, one of David's wives, they said she was wise and beautiful. But it doesn't say that about Mary. And I think, quite honestly, and the Bible's nice. I mean, if you're ugly as a fence post, the Bible doesn't say you're ugly. And we appreciate that. I really believe it doesn't say Mary was wise. It doesn't say she came from a wealthy family. It doesn't say there was anything that, we don't hear anything about her. So we get the picture, there was nothing about Mary that just makes her stand out. And I like that. I think if she'd been stunningly beautiful, and when she says, hey, I'm carrying the Son of God, people might have gone, well, figures, as beautiful as you are, you would care. But it never says she was beautiful. And yet, there's some things about Mary that are really fascinating. And we see some things about her that maybe the world wouldn't notice, but God did. And so I want to read a little bit of her story today because there's some great things about Mary. This is found in Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Betrothed, we use the term engaged now. Betrothed was even more of a covenant. That was a relationship. Everything but the ceremony and the wedding night had taken place. So it was really considered as binding as a marriage. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary, it's interesting that when Gabriel showed up, he actually had showed up 6 months before that to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. And when he showed up, Zechariah, it scared Zechariah. But it never said that Mary was scared by the presence of the angel. She was troubled by what he said to her. He said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. You are blessed. Blessed are you among women. And she was thinking, what? In other words, it's not his presence, but what he said to her. And we begin to get the picture that Mary didn't think she was anything special. She didn't think she was just amazing. She had no diva in her. She did not think she was all that. And when the angel said, you have found favor with God, what he was saying just caught her completely by surprise. So we see that she was troubled. She didn't see herself like God saw her. But then also you see that she was a woman of faith. She had some faith. I mean, the angel said, you're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to have a son. He's going to be the Son of God. And she didn't go, what? She went, how's this going to happen since I'm a virgin? That's a legitimate question. And so she had the question. And I love the fact Gabriel answered her question and then also encouraged her with Elizabeth, her relative. Gabriel just tells her, Now, think about this. We see this story and we look back and we know what happened. But Mary's sitting there and she goes, hey, how's this going to happen? And Gabriel said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and the power of the Most High God is going to overshadow you. And we go, yeah, that's right. She's probably going, what? I mean, I would think the power of God just is going to come on me and overshadow me. My first question is this going to hurt? But that did not faze her. It didn't faze her at all. And she's like, okay. And they said, and your relative Elizabeth, she was called barren for years. She's now an old woman, but she was called barren for years. She's now pregnant. This is her 6th month. She was barren. She's now pregnant because with God, all things are possible. I love that. She was called barren, but not anymore. Because with God, all things are possible. When I read that, I thought, man, there's a lot of us that could say the same thing. We might have been called foolish, but now we're called wise because with God, all things are possible. We might have been called weak, but now we're strong because with God, all things are possible. We might have been called sick, but now we're called healed because with God, all things are possible. People may have said they're hopeless, but with God, all things are possible. What you were is not what you is because this is what God has done. But aren't you glad that you're not what you used to be and that God has done a great work? How many of us in here could say, if it wasn't for God, I would not even be here today. And I'm so grateful for all He has done. There's a lot of us that are walking testimonies of the goodness of God. No one gave Joy and I a chance of ever staying married. And in fact, her dad was dancing with her at our wedding and said, listen, if it doesn't work out with this guy, you can always come and live with me. But with God, all things are possible. I just love that part of the story. And Mary just bought in. In fact, she made a great faith statement. She said, well, just let it be to me according to your word. There you go. That was not a statement of comprehension. It was a statement of faith. Mary didn't know how everything was going to go. Can I tell you something about how God is? He will not tell you every single thing. He will give you a step. And we take a step, and that's when we see the next step. Her statement was, just let it be to me according to your word. She didn't understand how all of that was going to happen. And I tell you another thing, too. You see in her an identity when she called herself, I'm a maidservant of the Lord. She said, I'm just a servant of God. What humility. Like I said, she didn't see herself as anything special. She said, I'm God's servant. In other words, I am submitted to whatever God's plan is for my life. What a great place to be. Can you start to see why Mary was called favored with God? She had such character. And she was a tough chick. She had courage. Now, we think today, we read the story, and you know how the Bible, it'll skip. It'll say, and this happened, and then boom, the child was born. It doesn't tell us a lot of what happened in the middle. It doesn't tell us about the fact that Mary is now pregnant, and she's going to have to explain that to people. Now, long before Facebook, before people could post, they could still gossip. And when Mary started showing, you know, everybody's going to ask questions. Mary, gaining a little weight, looking a little heavier. Yeah, I'm pregnant. Oh, but it's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, it is. Sure it is. It's the Holy Spirit. That makes sense to us. It does not make sense to them. And there was only one verse that talked about a virgin giving birth. This didn't make sense. And not only that, she had to explain that to Joseph. And he was a good man. And when he found out she was pregnant, he was going to divorce her, just end the marriage. Thank God God stepped in, had an angel came to him and said, no, it's good, it's the Lord. So he backed off. But you can see, this is a woman who had to deal with the consequences of not being able to explain everything that God was doing. In fact, Gabriel never even told her, hey, Mary, don't worry about Joseph. God's going to take care of that. He just said, you're going to have a child. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to be great. Mary said, okay, that's it. I'll take God's word for it, and God handled the rest. Listen, guys, when we follow God, when we work with Him in our life, He will not tell us everything, but if we'll trust Him for one step, He will take care of the rest. And we can trust Him to guide us. So she put her whole future in God's hands, and He took care of her, and people call her blessed today. And by the way, she had at least 6 more kids. So God bless Mary, if you consider having 6 children a total blessing. But what do we learn from Mary? Let me give you 3 things. As I look at her and I look at what she did, she's such character. Here's the first one. We can learn to level up our identity. Our identity, people identify with so many different things. They identify with, and we're not saying that's wrong, but unless you put it out of priority. People identify with their race. People identify with their nationality. People identify with their, they identify with football teams. They identify with their college teams. They identify with just so many different things in life. Political affiliations. People identify there. But there's a level higher than that, and that's your spiritual identity. What God says about you, who you are in relation to your connection to God. The Apostle Paul said something. He's in the middle of a storm, and an angel appeared to him and said, Paul, it's going to be okay. And when Paul is talking to the people the next day about that angel, I want you to see what he says about him. He said, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. He identified 2 areas. He said, I belong to God and I serve God. Man, that's a great way to identify. We identify so much, I'm a Texan. And that's great. But there's a higher identity than simply being in a Texan. How about being in God's family, that you belong to God, that He is your heavenly Father? And you are His child. You belong to Him. And not only do you belong to Him, but you can serve Him. And that's a higher level identity. Mary said, I'm the maidservant of the Lord. She said, that's how I identify. She didn't say, I identify as a virgin, I identify as a woman. She said, I am God's servant. In 2016, Chicago Cubs were playing the 7th game of the World Series. And in the World Series, they were playing the Cleveland Indians. They were playing in Cleveland. And the Cubs had a 6-3 lead going into the 7th inning and lost the lead. And by the 9th inning, the score was tied. And all the Cub fans were starting to feel like, here it comes. Here we go again. And if you're a baseball fan, you know about the famous curse of the Cubs. And they thought, oh, we're cursed. It's going to happen. It began to rain, and they had to halt the game at the end of the 9th. And all the teams headed for the clubhouse. And in the clubhouse, Jason Hayward was an outfielder. And he saw that his team was dispirited. He saw they were defeated. And they hadn't even finished the game, but they're already defeated. And he stood up. He said, hey, you guys need to remember who you are. He said, we were the number 1 team in baseball. We had the best record in baseball. We came through 2 playoffs. We were down 3-1 in this series, and we forced the 7th game. He said, this is our game to win, not our game to lose. And with that injection of truth, the Chicago Cubs went out into the 10th inning when the rain stopped and scored 2 more runs and won the first World Series they'd won in 108 years. And they realized that they got there because they remembered who they were. Listen, your identity, who you are in Christ, is more important than anything in the natural, because there'll come a day 120 years from now when we're standing in heaven and you won't care about if you were a Texan fan or a Cowboy fan. You won't, especially a Cowboy fan, you won't even care. You will not care, because all that will matter is you belong to God. And there you are. And that's what means the most. Here's the second thing. Acknowledge your capacity for faith and courage. Now, this is something that I hear so many people, and when they talk like, well, I just don't have any faith. Or, I'm just not a courageous type person. And yet, when you connected with the Lord, you have the capacity, the potential for faith and for courage. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and this was a pretty rowdy group. He said, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Now listen, it would not be fair for Paul to write these things if the church at Corinth did not have the capacity to stand firm in the faith and be courageous. That would not be fair. Parents, I think you understand this. This is where Joy and I were not the parents that make everyone happy. Because we never looked at our children and went, if you just believe, you can be anything you want to be. I believe every child has gifts and talents and abilities. And my job as a parent is to find out where those gifts are and then build those up. But I'm not going to tell my kids, you can be anything you want to be. My daughter wanted to be a singer. She cannot sing. And so you know what Daddy did? Daddy did not look at her and go, baby, you can be anything you want to be. Those kids wind up on American Idol doing the auditions, and they're horrible auditions. And then you get the parents out there going, every time my baby sings, it just makes me cry. Well, every time your baby sings, everybody cries because it's not good. She couldn't sing. We gave her music lessons. She couldn't sing. I finally just said, honey, this is not your lane. She can't sing. She can't dance either. I was kind of happy about that. That kept her out of the clubs. And so she, but I'm not going to tell them you can do something if you don't have the capacity to do it. As a good father, we never ask any of our kids to be a stellar athlete. They didn't have that capacity. They're good kids. Michael can play the violin. Matt's a world traveler. Christina's gifted with children. She is outstanding. Use the gifts that God has given you. Use them for His glory, but don't buy into you can be anything you want to be. That's not true. And God did not do that to us. He didn't look at us and go, have courage and have faith if we did not have the capacity to do it. We've got that. So what we need to do is stop talking about what we don't have. I just don't have any faith. I just don't have any courage. Why don't you begin to say, Lord, thank you. If you say I can be strong and courageous, I can be strong and courageous. And courage is not an absence of fear. Courage is facing the fear and acting anyway. George Patton was considered one of the bravest and most warlike generals we've ever had in World War II. And someone said, General Patton, you're one of the bravest men we've ever met. He said, no, no. He said, every time I hear the guns go off, he said, I shake on the inside. He said, here's the deal. He said, what I've learned over and over again, he said, I don't take counsel from my fears. In other words, my fears don't dictate to me. But George Patton was a general who said he faced his fears. Guys, listen, we're going to have some times. This is one of the best times to talk about Jesus, because for just a little bit, the whole world talks about Jesus. And this is a great time. And if someone asks you, well, I hear you go to church now, don't mumble, don't back off, don't hide it. Just stand up and go, yeah, I do. And God has helped me, and my life is changing for the better. And why don't you come to Christmas with me? And why don't we do that? That's courage. Courage is you facing your fears where you are. But you have to believe you have the capacity to do it. I think we all need to adopt Mary's catchphrase. Let it be to me according to your word. If you say I can, Lord, that's what I'm going to say. I can. Here's the last one. Become comfortable with what God says about you in His word. Mary wasn't comfortable when the angel looked at her and said, you are blessed. God is with you. You are highly favored. And Mary's like, she didn't see that. And God says a lot of things about you and me in His word. And we have to look at that. We don't need to look at that and go, oh, I don't know, Alan, I'm not comfortable with it. We need to become comfortable with it. Lord, if you say it, let it be to me according to your word. In the 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul was writing to the church. Now, I knew this verse from the New King James that said, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Well, there's at least three words there we don't typically use. So I like what the NLT says. God has united you with Christ Jesus. When you made Him Lord, you were united with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Man, there's a whole lot in that. But this is what we ought to say instead of going, well, I'm not righteous, I'm not right with God, I'm not pure and holy. It just doesn't seem that way. We need to say, whether I understand it or not, by faith I'm going to begin to say, God, thank you that you've made me right with you. Thank you that you've made me pure and holy in your sight. Thank you that you have freed me from sin and sickness and sadness. Thank you for what you've done. I'm comfortable with what you say about me. And that's a challenging place to be. But that's the place of faith. That's what Mary did. She finally became comfortable, and the Lord said, you are highly favored. You know what the angel told Mary? Do you realize that actually applies to you? If you've made Jesus your Lord, do you realize that you are blessed, that you are highly favored, and God is with you? You say, well, oh, not me, Alan, I'm not Mary. No, 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 listen. The Bible said, but in Ephesians, first chapter, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So you can actually say, I'm blessed. Why don't we just say that? I'm blessed. Yeah, the enthusiasm was overwhelming in that, but that's a good thing to say. Before you go to bed tonight, let's look in the mirror and go, I am blessed. Now here's the next one. You ready for this one? I'm highly favored. You go, no. I'm not highly favored. Yeah, but it says in 1 Corinthians 1:6, it said, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That phrase, accepted in the beloved, means highly favored. It's only used one other time. It was the time that Mary was called highly favored. Because you are in Christ, you are highly favored. Can we give that a try? Say, I'm highly favored. That was so much better, guys. You get a gold star, which is good for nothing, but you do get a gold star. And then the last one is that God is with us. We've been saying this one for a while. This is out of Hebrews. In Hebrews it said, what can we say to these things? We can boldly say, he said he would never leave us or forsake us. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we can say, the Lord is with me. Ready? The Lord is with me. Man, that's good. Y'all got better. Y'all really improved. And so, outstanding. But you realize that almost sounds weird when you say it. I'm blessed, I'm highly favored, and the Lord is with me. It's because we hadn't said it enough. But if you'll start to say it, not because you feel that way, but because God said that about you, then you can begin to get that on the inside of you. And when you get that on the inside, it will absolutely change your life. It will change your day. It will change your family. It will change you. You get a hold of that, and it changes. I give you an example, and I'll close. Stay with me just for a couple more minutes, and I'll close. Joy is one of Joy's favorite stories that I tell is the story of Mary Ann Byrd. Mary Ann Byrd was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1928. When she was born, there were some challenges. She had a cleft palate. Her teeth were pretty just twisted in her mouth. Her nose was disfigured. Her face was disfigured. She had feet that were crooked. And she was deaf in one ear. Mary Ann Byrd went to school, and by the time she was in the second grade, she knew that nobody could love her but her family. The kids would make fun of her. They were merciless. You know how kids can be. And they would point at her, and they would laugh at her, and they would ridicule her. They would ask her, Mary Ann, what happened to your lip? And she would tell them that she fell and cut it on glass because she felt like that was not as severe as telling them I was born this way. She was a ridiculed, lonely little girl. But she was in a class from a lady named Miss Leonard. Miss Leonard, she said, was short, round, and happy. And just full of joy. And the children loved her. And every year at schools, they used to give what they call a hearing test. And they would put a child a few feet away from the teacher, and the child had to cover one ear, and then the teacher would whisper something, and if the child could hear it, they would repeat it back. So Miss Leonard would put the kids, and they would stand over against the wall, and Miss Leonard would whisper something like, you have new shoes, and they would hear it, and they go, you have new shoes, or the sky is blue, and they would repeat that back to Miss Leonard. Mary Ann Byrd said when she stood up, she first covered her deaf ear. And Miss Leonard spoke words she said that God must have put in her mouth. Because Miss Leonard whispered to her, I wish you were my little girl. Mary Ann Byrd said that was a watershed moment for her. She said nothing changed on her outward appearance, but something changed on the inside. And for the first time, she believed that it was possible for her to be loved and that she could love others. And that her words, those words, they registered in her. And she began to envision a future that wasn't as limited by the challenges that she faced. That she envisioned a future where she actually had a future, and that the children's ridicule were not the only words, neither were they the last word in her life. Mary Ann Byrd grew up and became, and followed actually in Miss Leonard's footsteps, and became a highly acclaimed teacher in the New York area, known for her compassion and her kindness. Words. She listened to them. She received them. This morning, we're talking about words, and maybe these words sound foreign to you. Highly favored, blessed, God's with you. But don't reject them. Receive them into your heart. Those are healing words. Those are strengthening words. God said it. He's got a great future for you. All things are possible with God. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Please stay with me just for a second. If you came this morning and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, I know that, He knows that, but I want to. And if you're watching online, this may apply to you. Or maybe you said, I used to have a walk with the Lord and I've gotten away from Him, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front, but we're going to pray. And if this prayer is for you. If you are here or you're watching online, this is such a great opportunity. This Christmas season, don't miss this. This is good. This is a chance to connect with the one who loves you more than anyone else. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, that is me. I want to come to the Lord. I want to come back to Him. I want to be a part of your prayer. Would you pray for me? Quickly slip up your hand just across this auditorium. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Great. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to pray this prayer. If you're online, obviously I can't see you. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud with us. If you're with others, pray it quietly. If you're here, we're going to pray it with you as a church family. But pray it out loud, out of your mouth, so you can hear yourself. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who have made you their Lord for the first time, and for those who come back. Thank you. You received them with open arms. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the wonderful things that you have in store for them as your children, that they're favored, that they're blessed, and that you'll be with them. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you for your words to us that register in our heart and make a difference in our lives. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.